This is the Draft Prospect Review Podcast from Patriots.com. Think you know who the Pats will take in the first round? Want to know what positions the team is targeting? We'll let you know what we think. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this Draft Prospect Review Podcast with the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Wednesday, April 22nd, 2009, Gillette Stadium. We are just 3 days away, Paul Perillo, from the 2009 NFL Draft.
The excitement is building.
It really is. We're fresh off yesterday's pre-draft press conference with Bill Belichick, where he raved about the flexibility he and the Patriots have heading into this draft with 11 picks, six of them in the first 97, three in the second round. Talked about the possibility that if they wanted to, they could probably get up to anywhere somewhere in the range of the number 10 selection, but will also be a player throughout the first and second rounds in trade talk, and that they've already had preliminary discussions with a variety of teams, just sort of a, would you want to do this? Well, maybe we'd want to do that. Two-for-one scenarios he talked about. So it looks like this could very well be, both in terms of the actual maneuverings of the draft and the prospects they get, one of the more interesting drafts in the history of this franchise, Paul.
Well, I think it is. I think there's so much flexibility, and I think Belichick has proven in the past that he knows what to do with that kind of flexibility, and he's not afraid to take advantage of it. So I think you're right. I think it is one of the more intriguing drafts in the Patriots' history, certainly under Belichick.
Regardless of how you look at whatever they do, we know he's on record as saying somewhere in the range of 20 to 40, they're all the same, have similar grades. Yesterday there was a lot of talk about how there's no consensus for the top player at a lot of different positions. That sort of muddies the waters as to how the draft could unfold.
Yeah, I understand that.
Whether they are selecting, if they make all their selections, say in the first two rounds, then you very well could be looking at the foundation of the team for the next 4, 6, 8 years if they hit on some of those. Or if they maneuver around, you could be looking at him setting up next year's draft with trades or getting a couple specific players that they really lust after in this year's draft. So I think there's, you know, that flexibility he talks about could manifest itself in a lot of ways, but in my mind, they'll all be positives from a Patriots fans' perspective.
Yeah, and I like the idea of working to the next draft as well, and I think Bill does that almost every year.
That's why you have one of the seconds this year is from the
last
year's trade.
And I could see him doing something similar next year, maybe even to wiggle his way into a one, the three number twos. You know, you always hear people saying a two this year is worth a one next year and stuff like that. So if they could move up, or if someone wanted to move up in the second round with them and they swap spots and picked up a first-round pick or something like that, I think those kinds of things, with all that flexibility with those three second-rounders, you don't need all three. I love those possibilities the Patriots have. And I also like, and you touched on this off the air before we started, just the ability to target one specific player. And whether that's a late first round or a guy that's supposed to be in the middle of the first round that starts to slip and you want to move up from 23, the possibilities are all there. Unlike last year where it was, you know, 7 and 62, something
I believe
like
that yes.
And they had really no flexibility. This year it's the opposite.
Generally in this time frame, Paul, this is a prospect review podcast where we preview the prospects each and every week.
That
we go over
correct.
A specific position, but we've run through the gamut of those positions. We've gone over it all. We've broken it down, given you some early round possibilities, later round possibilities, guys we think are up arrows, down arrows, as you know, my scouting system utilizes
it's
the fancy
very,
arrow.
It's very sophisticated, your scouting
techniques.
System.
So today we're going to finalize it. We're not going to go through a seven-round mock. If you're looking for that, I urge you to go over to Scouts, Inc. on ESPN.com. They
Todd
do a
McShay,
fine job.
Done a nice job.
I am not going to be doing that. But we will look at the 23rd pick, the exciting one, the moneymaker, the one who'll get to come in and hold a jersey here at Gillette Stadium next Thursday.
Our special pick.
Our special pick. Paul Perillo, I want three names that would get you excited, that you'd be happy about with the 23rd selection in the draft.
I mean, I think it's, for all the reasons that you already unfolded about the lack of consensus at all the different positions, it's really hard to know for sure which players are going to be available once we get to 23 because so many of these mocks have different guys falling. I'll give you three guys. I think that the outside linebacker types are the ones that I'm really focusing on, so I'll say Everett Brown. I'd be very excited. Don't think he's going to be there. So I'll say Larry English after that. We've talked a lot about those guys. I don't think we need to get into it. I also think the fact that the cornerbacks, in my opinion, I don't think there are really a high-end cornerbacks, but I think there are very good ones. And I think you have a possibility, Andy, to be sitting at 23 with the pick of the litter at cornerback. That to me would be an exciting pick. That I would be excited about whoever they deem to be the best. You have liked Avante Davis. I like Avante Davis an awful lot. I like Malcolm Jenkins a lot, too. I would be excited with either one of those guys. So, I mean, there's four different names for you, but those are the positions. And let me just throw, I'll just throw one more because I don't think all of them will be available. I'll throw Maualuga in there. Well, I don't know why I can't pronounce that name, but I haven't been able to from the start.
Been drinking?
I think that there's a chance that he slips as well. So there's an inside linebacker, an outside linebacker, and a cornerback. Any of those three spots, I would be very excited about.
I will agree with you on Everett Brown. I'd be ecstatic if he was on the board. I think he is a pure pass rusher that Bill will mold into a very good linebacker in this system. I don't think he'll be around, but if you believe some of the mocks, he might be. Who knows?
Yeah. I don't think he'll be around.
Maybe
either.
He's a guy that's around at 18, 19, somewhere in there, and Bill trades up to get him. We have no idea, but he's a guy I'd get excited about. Avante Davis, as you mentioned, I would really get excited about. And your little scenario would be very intriguing if both Jenkins and Davis were on the board at 23. I'd be interested to see who he took and sort of how he would use him down the road, because Jenkins obviously has the versatility to play some safety, and you wonder if Bill would not only not consider that a downgrade, but think of it as a positive that he could have that flexibility in the modern defensive schemes of the NFL. And a third guy I'll go Larry English. I really like Larry English.
We're boring.
We are, but I don't think there are a lot of different guys outside the box, then I think you're just wrong. Let's throw some other names that have been seen out there. Brandon Pettigrew is a guy that I know Mike Reese of the Boston Globe has been pretty high on from the start.
See, now that would be a guy that I would be the opposite of excited. I mean, I'd be very disappointed because I don't think, A, he's a special first-round tight end, and B, I just don't think they need a tight end. So I would really be disappointed with the Brandon Pettigrew.
And we'll go through some of the other needs. If you're looking for a tackle, well, now they're saying as many as four tackles could go in the top 10, so I'm not sure I want the sixth best tackle with the 23rd pick in the draft, so I wouldn't get excited about tackle. I don't think you need to go receiver, obviously, that high.
Donald Brown is a guy that's been popping up on some of these mocks. I wouldn't be overly excited about that pick.
I think he's going to be a good, solid NFL player.
I do as well.
I mean, this team has some needs I'd like to see addressed, and when you're talking about a very deep crop of outside linebackers, I want Bill to target one of the two or three best and go after that guy. He may not get, Curry is a different kind of guy. I don't think he'd be a fit here, but Arakpo is probably going to go pretty high. Maben may go very high. He's probably not going to get one of those guys, but if he can get what he thinks is the third best and a pretty good player in this crop, that's who I want him to take. I want the pass rusher, whoever he deems the best. If he has to trade up a few spots, use some of those picks, do it. But that's my target, is the pass rusher. Secondary target would be Avante Davis. I really like his game.
Yeah, I mean, I would think any of those spots would make a lot of sense. And let me ask you this, Andy. We talked a lot about there's a lack of consensus at the top of all of these positions. Which position do you feel is the deepest? Not necessarily
deepest.
The best, but the deepest.
I think, it's funny, I don't hear a lot of people saying, I think defensive back. If you throw safeties with the corners, there's no great safeties, but I think there's a pretty good group of safeties.
I wasn't really disappointed with any of the guys.
Right, and they're all considered second, third, fourth round picks, but to me, it looks like a lot of them can play. You combine that with the depth at cornerback, where again, there's no consensus top 20 blue chip prospect, but there's, I think, a lot of guys that are going to be at least second or third corners in this league for a long time. I think there's a lot of depth there. I think that's a pretty good position. And I think outside linebacker is pretty good, too. But that's more system-specific. Are you looking for Aaron Curry? Are you looking for Everett
Brown? There's a big difference between those guys. People don't know what we're talking about. There's a world of difference between Aaron Curry, who I think could be a solid guy in a Tampa 2, for example, like a Derek Brooks. He could make tons of plays, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm not comparing him to Derek Brooks, but in that position, whereas I don't necessarily think there's a fit in the Patriots. Right. And that's why Andy's talking about Brian Arakpo and Aaron Maben and Everett Brown and Larry English. Those guys are they're outside linebackers just like Aaron Curry's an outside linebacker, but it's not the same position in any way, shape, or form.
Real quick, give me a couple names, and you touched on it with Pettigrew. A couple names that you'd really be really disappointed after all this buildup if you heard player X called at 23. Brandon Pettigrew would be one for you, obviously.
He would be one I would be very disappointed to hear.
Would you put Donald Brown in that category?
I would be disappointed with Donald Brown just because I think it's a reach, not because I think the player is not that good. I think you put it perfectly, and I think you blogged about it as one of your quote-unquote safe picks.
Yep.
And I think that's a good way to put it. If you could tell me I could get that guy with one of the second-round picks or somewhere later on, I'd be pretty confident that he's a good player. I don't think he's a first-round-worthy player. But you know what? Maybe we're looking at this draft a little bit differently because – there's a lot of good players, and maybe there aren't that many great players. We know that every draft virtually. Do you know, I heard a stat today, Andy. Did you know this? Since, I want to say, 1960, there has only been one draft that has not produced at least one Hall of Famer. You know, not including, obviously.
Like the last three or whatever.
Yeah,
right.
You know, whatever. I think it's 1986.
Hmm.
Bo Jackson's draft. And clearly, you'd be the first to say he would have been a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, had he not injured his hip, he would have been a Hall of Famer in two
sports.
But
every draft, I think there's only been three drafts in the history of football going all the way back to the first draft ever that have not produced at least one Hall of Famer. I heard that on ESPN this
morning. Interesting. Very, very interesting.
Yeah.
One other position I'll throw at you. For
wide receiver, by the way, is a very deep position, I thought.
Well, I was going to say, would you be upset to hear a wide receiver at 23?
Yes.
Kenny Britt, I've seen.
Yes. I'd be thrilled to hear Kenny Britt's name in the second round, but not in the first.
Okay. Now I want to touch on two other positions real quick. We haven't really said a lot about punters because, quite frankly, not a lot of punters get drafted. We don't know a lot about punters. But given the litany of picks, 11 picks, say he can't move a few of them, you brought back, why am I drawing a blank on the punter's name, Chris Hansen from last year. Could you see them going for a punter in the draft? And I'll just tell you right now, Mel Kiper's top three, Kevin Huber, Cincinnati, Thomas Morstead, SMU, Chris Miller, Ball State. There's a Colquitt kid out of Tennessee again.
You're punting. I think that your theory is sound. I mean, you have 11 picks. A lot of those are late. And,
make the team. I mean, they're not all going to make the team.
They're not going to make the team. You're not necessarily going to move a lot of those late picks. I mean, you're not going to trade a lot of sixth rounders for a fifth rounder next
right.
year. I mean, you might make one deal like that, but you're not going to, I don't think you're substantially going to change the amount of picks once you get beyond the fourth or fifth round. You're probably going to make most of those picks. A punter makes sense. A quarterback, I think, makes sense.
That was
down
the next
there.
Position I was going to say.
You know, and I know
developmental
that we both
quarterback.
Like a guy like Brandstater.
Yep.
I got a kid, and I wish.
Oh, jeez. Get off your knees. You're in love with this kid.
Jason Boltis is his name. And I only say it because he went to Hartwick, okay, Division 17. He's not NFL ready by any stretch of the imagination. I just thought that he had some skills as an undrafted free agent that might be able to be developed. And, you know, if you have a situation like the Patriots have right now where they have three incumbent quarterbacks if they so choose, if they don't bring in anybody else with O'Connell and Gutierrez behind Brady, you bring this kid in as an undrafted free agent and let him compete with Gutierrez for that third spot, and you never know.
I agree with you. Draft a quarterback, draft a punter, get him in camp, put him on the practice squad for a year, and then you have a good young punter.
I thought of another guy I'd be disappointed to hear his name at 23, and that's Sean Smith from Utah, cornerback.
Yeah, I don't think you'll
hear his name
at 23.
Well, a lot of people say he's a first-round pick.
Yeah, a lot of people are wrong, Paul,
very often. I would agree.
And you know where they were wrong? CNNSI? When they reported B.J. Raji would be included in those failing drug tests at the Combine,
thumbs
retracted
up,
their statement.
Thumbs up to
report.
Draft Bible, whatever that code was. Is it draftbible.com? Thumbs up for their retraction. They apologized. They said they were wrong. Thumbs down to SI.com, which basically just said they retracted what they said.
But included among the guys
failing. No apologies, no nothing.
The tests were Percy Harvin, Paul.
Not your guy, though, Vontae Davis.
No, that is
one of the guys who was incorrectly reported.
I never doubted him. That's why I thought he was the best.
But also the USC linebackers, and we did doubt them.
Would that affect your consideration of a guy?
Marijuana wouldn't affect me in terms of that. I understand the theory that if they're testing positive at the combine,
they're idiots.
The lack of common sense is astounding. But I'm not overly concerned about that once I talk to a guy. Now, look, I could talk to a guy and I could say, my God, this guy's baked right in front of me. And just say the guy obviously has a problem. He's like Ricky Williams. He can't walk away from marijuana. But in and of itself, it's not that serious of a transgression to me.
Okay. Saturday evening with the 23rd pick
of the
Patriots.
I can't wait. I'm as excited about this draft as I've been since 2001.
Join us. PFW in Progress will be live from the press box here at Gillette Stadium 6 to 9 on Saturday night. Remember, again, it's a late starting draft. They've moved it back. Starts at 4 p.m. with the first pick, although the Lions may have already made that selection by that time. Sunday, we'll be back from noon to 3 to
is
wrap
Stafford
up.
Stafford that guy?
I think Stafford is that guy. I think it'll be done. He was very confident about getting into camp at the Combine, so I think he'll get a deal done and they'll be moving on in the draft. But we'll be there 6 hours draft weekend breaking down all 11 selections or all the trades that Belichick makes with some of those selections. And we'll be welcoming in a new member of Patriots Nation with the 23rd selection in the first round. Paul Perillo says it's Larry English. Andy Hart says it's Vontae Davis. We'll find out who it really is on Saturday.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.